Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I don't know where religion got such a bad name. I think it's just part of our postmodern, politically correct, constantly changing vocabulary. There are certain words that become bad words, and one of them is religion. And the sad thing is, of all the places where the church has participated in this postmodern political correctness, this is the place where it's participated most enthusiastically in trashing the word religion. It's a thoroughly biblical word. There's nothing wrong with religion. Religion is actually a good thing. But what's been put in its place is relationships. We've heard it again and again and again that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, inferring rather strongly that, or implying rather strongly that religion is a bad thing, a relationship is a good thing. Is that necessarily true? And is it an either or? Joining us to answer that question, Christianity, religion, or relationship, Pastor Richard Futrell. He's pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri, and he's author of a recent article titled, It's Not a Religion, But a Relationship, Not Quite. Richard, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's good to be back, Todd.
When we hear people say this, and it's usually Christians who say it, they say Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. What are they trying to say?
I don't say that, so I'm going to kind of guess here, okay? But I think somebody is really trying to do a couple of things. One, he's trying to say, emphasize how Christianity is different from other religions. In other words, that Christianity is something that God instituted, and so they see religion as a man-made thing. So I see that going on. But I also kind of see the individualism of Americanism just kind of rise to the top in that the faith that one has is only between himself and God, and no one else matters. The institutional church doesn't matter. That's the relationship aspect. It's between me and God, and if anyone gets in the way, well, I'll just get rid of them.
Okay, so we have here a false dichotomy. Is that something we should acknowledge?
Well, certainly. I think, when you read through Scripture and especially the New Testament, and you say, well, did Jesus establish a church? And you have to say, well, yes, he gave apostles to his commands to carry out, and that's supposed to go on until he returns. So Jesus established some sort of, if you want to use this term, institution, where baptism and the Lord's Supper and the forgiveness of sins and preaching, and all of that is to take place. That's the church. And then even Scripture uses the word religion, not very often, but in the book of James, James is comparing and contrasting real religion from false religion. And he's saying that in a real religion, pure and undefiled religion, Christianity, what does it look like when it's lived out in someone's life? He says, well, that religion, someone serves his neighbor. And then the example that James uses is helping to take care of orphans and widows in their time of need.
Okay. So the word religion itself is not a bad thing. Usually, as you pointed out before, usually people mean institutional religion, or they mean a non-Christian religion. How does James mean it there when he says pure and undefiled religion?
Okay. He's, obviously an individual, does live out his faith in the vocations where he serves in his everyday life. He's really talking about as a congregation is really how he's looking at this. Is that we, in a gathering as a body, this is what faith looks like when we live it out. It's not only a singular thing. It's also a collective thing. And that's where I think people kind of go awry with that. It's everything is made concerning the individual and the collective nature of being brought into the body of Christ, of being brought into the church, is lost. And so it is a false dichotomy. It's as if, you know, institutional church, bad. Oh, but my relationship with Jesus is good. And unfortunately, it doesn't really explore, well, how does one enter a relationship with Jesus?
Ordinarily, what they're talking about there, and here we're kind of speaking of American Christianity, they mean a personal relationship, insofar as you can have a personal relationship with someone that most American Protestants believe is as distant as the right hand of God, kind of a long-distance pen palship with, mm-hmm. with Jesus, quasi-romantic, really really warm, really fuzzy, mostly occupied by good feelings and warm sentiment.
Yeah. This is kind of the odd thing I would say about this, Todd. Because if you read through all of Scripture, you won't find the word relationship in it. What you will find is words like fellowship, communion. And of course, you know, well, what's fellowship mean and what's communion mean? Well, communion and fellowship are communal things that take place, not individual, see? And so, so this relationship, if you want to say, of course there's individual faith, but we're brought into a collective body, the body of Christ, his church, and within that body is how we have communion with Christ and with one another. And you know what's odd about this kind of warm, fuzzy kind of thing that this relationship idea has is Scripture is very clear on how we have the relationship with Jesus. He calls it communion. And of course, well, what's communion? Well, that's the Lord's Supper. That's the fellowship. And it's not a warm, fuzzy thing, but Jesus is coming to us in his body and blood, in the bread and wine, to give us his life, salvation, forgiveness of sins. You can't get any closer to Christ than that. And so when we really see how the New Testament speaks and thinks, it's something beautiful that blows this whole idea of it's not a religion, it's a relationship out of the water. Because even the relationship that people want and think they have with Jesus is nothing in comparison to the communion that we individually and collectively have in Christ.
There's also a strong implication in that relationship language, as it's usually used, that this is really a pretty much a two-way street. It's kind of like the relationship that I have with my wife. We both give 100%, the old, you know, both mm-hmm. give 100% about marriage. But both kind of have to toe the line. Both are in it, invested in it. Both have a part in maintaining the relationship. Mm-hmm. Both can see to it that the relationship
yeah.
falls apart, all that stuff. That is not a very accurate picture of the kind of relationship that we have with Jesus, is it?
No. In fact, if somebody kind of wants to use the whole marriage thing as an example, well, you know, you turn to Ephesians 5. And, of course, no one likes to do that because it kind of has the submit word in there, you know, the S word when it relates to women. But that's missing the whole point. You know, the whole point is when our marriage is compared to Christ and his bride, the church, well, okay, how is a husband supposed to serve his wife? Well, how did Christ serve his church? He gave everything for her. He died for her. Christ gives his forgiveness, righteousness to her. All of that washes her clean and all of that. And so it's not 50-50 or 100, whatever, give and take, all of that stuff. It's Christ using the marriage relationship motif. Christ gives his all, and we receive it. So for a wife to submit is really to be on the receiving end of Christ wants of what the husband gives or what Christ gives to his church, and then we respond with prayer, you know, in thanksgiving back. So, even the way that we think of marriage is flawed, and then we take that flawed look of marriage, and then when we apply it to Christ, it ends up being a double distortion. Rather than letting the relationship, if we use that word, instead of communion, between Christ and his bride, the church, shape our understanding of marriage and our communion with Christ.
Pastor Richard Futrella is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more conversation with him. Christianity, a religion or a relationship. It's Tuesday afternoon, November the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So the turkey wasn't perfect. You still received it as a gift from God. That's what you'll hear at the next conference of the ACELC, addressing the unbiblical removal of pastors from the Office of the Holy Ministry, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net, and remember, pastors are hardly the perfect bird, but they're still to be cherished. Not roasted, grilled, deep-fried, or chewed up. See why at acelc.net.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're answering the question, is Christianity a religion or a relationship, on this Tuesday afternoon? Pastor Richard Futrell is our guest. He's pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri, and he's author of a recent article titled, It's Not a Religion, But a Relationship, Not Quite. Let's talk a little bit about something you write here. You say that that unwittingly, when people denigrate the truth of Christianity being a religion, they also denigrate what it means to be a true relationship. I've gathered that so far from what you've had to say, Pastor Futrell, that the two go together. They're not in opposition to one another.
Yes, yes. And in fact, you don't have one without the other. Not really. I mean, how is one brought into this relationship with Jesus? I mean, what did Jesus set up so that way, you know, the Holy Spirit could work and give us faith in Jesus Christ, and so Jesus Christ could bring us to God the Father, and then we could be righteous before God. This doesn't happen on its own. This happens where certain things take place. And if one sees the faith not so much as what God does and the content of something, but simply subjectively, well, then you lose all that, and you think it's just, oh, well, it's whatever I want it to be between me and Jesus or me and God, or and somebody even makes Jesus in his own image, and all of that crazy stuff goes on. But when you look at what Jesus set up, what did he command his apostles to do until he returns on the last day? You know, disciple others by baptizing and teaching. Forgive the sins of those, John chapter 20, the Lord's Supper. I mean, you see kind of these things that Jesus instituted in Luke's gospel. Preach repentance into the forgiveness of sins, Luke 24:47. All of this, these are the ways that God comes to us and the Holy Spirit is at work, creating and strengthening faith in our hearts to bring us into a relationship with Jesus. See, so that even doesn't just happen in the ether. There's a locatedness to it, and it's in something called the church. And that's the whole idea of fellowship in communion. That's why we're called to gather, to assemble together, as we see the day when Christ returns approaching. You don't have this relationship. This relationship only happens in communion with Christ, and this communion with Christ happens collectively, although individually, but it's individually as part of this thing called the church.
Paul talks about it as we are all members of the body of Christ. Individually, we're members, but we are members of one body. He has both sides of that reality captured perfectly.
He does, and so beautifully. So when we choose not to participate collectively in the body of Christ, we're really choosing to do something that is alien to who we are in Christ, because Christ is wedded to his church, his bride. How can we disconnect as part of the bride? You know, it's a collective, and we all individually have a relationship with Jesus, but it's not me apart from the rest of the communion of Christ. It's just a completely foreign, alien thing that does not even grow from the words of Scripture, but really just from ourselves wanting it to be that way.
How do you respond to someone who says, I think I know what you're talking about? I mean, you're talking about the preaching of the word, the means of grace, the sacraments, but they seem kind of impersonal to me. How would you respond to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the beauty of it. In a sense, God has to train us to appreciate his gifts. That doesn't come naturally to us, because what naturally comes to us are things that we want, not what God wants for us. So on this side of heaven, there is always this idea of that we're being trained to appreciate and value what Christ has for us. So we can't sit here and kind of assess and judge these things from our fallen condition. We take their value on faith. And isn't that what, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:7, doesn't it say that? That we walk by faith and not by sight? And so this whole point is, when we walk by faith, we're walking and living and trusting based on what God tells us in his word, not what I happen to think, see, or feel. See, that's walking by faith. And we could even apply that idea to a relationship with Christ. Well, we want to walk by sight. I know that what I have with Christ is real because I feel it. Well, you know, that feeling may go away as soon as the doctor tells you have cancer. But if we walk by faith, then we trust and we believe in what we know is true, even if we can't experience it.
That means, and you raise this near the end of your article, that means that we have to recognize that in one very important sense, this relationship exists outside of us. The certainty of it, this is something that is in Christ and not in us, at least not fully yet in us, but fully in Christ. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't want to deny that Jesus is in us. Scripture is very clear about that. I think where many Christians go off the track is they go, oh, well, if Jesus is in me, that's where I seek him out. But you will never find Scripture tell you to seek Jesus in your heart. He doesn't. And so it's the Jesus for us. It's Jesus coming to us, the Jesus for us, which creates faith in our hearts. It's the Jesus for us that strengthens our faith. And part of the reason why we gather as a communion, okay, a body, is to receive the gifts that God has for us. You know, there's a reason why the Lord's Supper is called communion. You know, we're as a body, we're receiving Christ's body. And so even if it doesn't feel like that, it can't get any closer than that at all. And that's Jesus for you, coming to you.
So finally, two questions. In what sense should we embrace that term religion, and in what sense should we embrace the term relationship for Christianity?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, we need to recognize that Christianity is a religion, you know, that is from God. And it's different from any other religion in the world. So, you know, it's not wrong to separate Christianity from other religions. But that doesn't mean that something is wrong with the word religion, okay? That's where we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. So we have to kind of reject that. And then when we look at the word relationship, what we don't want to do is have our understanding of what it means to be in relationship formed by what we see in this world. Rather, we need to have it formed by what God's Word says, okay? And God's Word says, well, yes, we do have a relationship, okay? Scripture also calls Jesus our brother. Therefore, well, yeah, of course we have a relationship. But that relationship is always described as a communion or fellowship. And a communion and fellowship is never singular, it's plural. So it's something that we have as a body.
Are you saying that if you want a relationship with Jesus, go to church?
well, yes. The early church had this saying. Now we need to understand it properly. Without the church as your mother, you don't have God as your father. Okay. Now you know the Roman Catholic Church can kind of do some crazy stuff with that and say if you're not in the institution of the Roman Catholic Church, et cetera, et cetera. We're not going there. But the truth of that statement is that you don't separate the, quote, relationship, unquote, that you have with Christ, with God, from his church. You have both. You fully have both. That's what Jesus instituted. That's what he wants for us. And that is what we are to seek out and desire as his people.
And the bonus is, and this is an insight that I found years ago from, I think, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of all people, and that is, this relationship that Christ establishes with his bride, the church, is the same relationship that gives us true relationship with one another as members of that body.
Yes, yes, properly understood. You know, when the husband really understands, you know, what the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church, is, then he could be a better husband to his wife, and it's reciprocal. So, you know, we're to let it shape us outward to inward. That is beautiful. I hadn't come across that before, Todd.
Pastor Richard Futrell is pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri. He's authored a recent article titled "It's Not a Religion, But a Relationship." Not quite. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Richard, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for interviewing me.
When we come back, Adrian Dorr-Heinz is going to join us. We're going to talk about the danger of subjectivity. She says this and might cause you some pause, but we'll explain on the other side of the break. She says, as a woman, I don't have to hear another woman have an opinion on something in order to form one myself. We'll find out what she means by that, and we'll discuss the danger of subjectivity with Adrian Dorr-Heinz right after this.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Are you planning a corporate luncheon, a theme party, or an anniversary celebration? Lunch for the Bunch Catering has been serving Greater St. Louis for more than 15 years with professional staff, appealing presentation, and culinary excellence. Find out more at lunchforthebunch.com or call 618-344-1921. 618-344-1921. Lunch for the Bunch in O'Fallon, Illinois. Lunchforthebunch.com.
Clear. Concise. Consistent. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota, Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa, St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.